Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Making Inspired Choices with Coach Linda. I am your host, Linda Stevens-Jones, and I am delighted you're taking time out of your busy schedule to tune in to my first radio broadcast. Before I go any further, I want to thank everyone out there who has supported and encouraged me every step of the way as I walked into my calling as a Christian life coach. I've never before felt as passionate about any work as I do about being a coach. So again, thank you. I appreciate your listening and supporting what God has given me to do at each turn in the road. Right up until today, with this radio broadcast, since this is the first broadcast, I want to take a few minutes to talk about the desired outcome for the program. I'll share a bit about myself and about Christian life coaching. After that, I will briefly open up the phone line to see if any of my past coaching clients are listening in and want to say something about their experience with coaching. Then we will have a very special guest to join us, Brother Lonnie Williams, and you don't want to miss that. So what is this radio broadcast all about? And what does making inspired choices mean? I'm glad you asked. Here's the premise for the show. You know how there are periods in life when you're going through what seems like your greatest challenge, or you are so distressed or mentally exhausted that you don't want to get out of bed in the morning? Or maybe it's just a time when you feel kind of disappointed or discouraged that things are not going the way you had hoped. Know any of those feelings? Now here's the catch. During those times, you notice how when you look around, it seems that everybody else is doing just great. They are laughing and traveling, getting promotions and enjoying their families, their work and relationships. When you're in one of those tough spots in your life, even when family and friends or colleagues ask if you're okay, you may hesitate to share how you're really feeling inside, because you think no one will understand what I'm going through, or no one has had this much chaos or hurt or emptiness or whatever you're feeling in your life right now. I've seen this in my own life, in the lives of my family and friends, and in my work with coaching clients. The feeling of having to put on a mask and show the world something different than you're feeling on the inside. As someone put it, you're laughing on the outside but crying or frightened on the inside. Is anyone out there relating to these kind of feelings or wearing these kind of masks? Well, my desire with this broadcast is that we will become a community where you can feel a sense of belonging, where you can receive encouragement and uplift, a place of no judgment, but of understanding and hope. This will be a place where you can take off your mask, a place where we believe with faith in God that things can and will improve for you. As you listen in, you're going to hear my guests on each program share personal stories of their lives, ups and downs, the challenges they've faced, and the choices they've made. And I want you to particularly listen for how faith played into the choice that they made. I'm calling this broadcast Making Inspired Choices because I believe our lives are a result of the choices we make. When we don't feel good about our lives, it is time to seek and make some different choices. From my own life experience, I know that as believers in Christ, we can tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to be inspired for the choices that we make. In my work as a Christian life coach, clients seek divine inspiration and direction for their choices. So that's where the title Making Inspired Choices comes from. Let me say a bit more about Christian life coaching right here. As a coach, I ask clients thought-provoking questions to uncover their strengths and gifts. I then help clients to connect with their strengths and gifts to pursue purpose, to create a vision, and to take action which moves them forward, no matter what concern or issue they are dealing with. The most significant difference in Christian life coaching and non-Christian life coaching is that we invite and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit for guidance. If this is not clear yet, give it a little time. We may even have some opportunities for volunteers to receive some laser coaching where you can see how this coaching is demonstrated. So I want this hour to be a time for you to pause, just like we do in coaching. Take off any mask, reflect on what you're hearing, and see new possibilities and choices for yourselves. I want you to feel welcome and comfortable to call in, get support, ask questions, and share your thoughts. All right? Right here, I want to just tell you a little more about myself because some of you out there don't know who I am. Actually, I'm going to share a lot more in a nutshell because I'm going to share my core values, and they guide my life and they capture who I am. My top five core values are active faith in Jesus Christ, love of my family and friends, lifelong learning, service, and being authentic. In the next few broadcasts, I'll be telling you more, but I hope this gives you an idea of who I am. And I also hope it prompts someone out there to think about their own core values. What are the values that guide your daily life? Okay. So now you know what this broadcast is designed to do. You know some about Christian coaching and some more about me. I want to just open up the phone lines right now to see if any of my past clients may be able to tune in and call and say something about their experience with Christian coaching. If any of you who've been clients are listening in and can join us, this would be a good time. Please call us at 646-716-9397. I'm not sure if any of my past clients were able to arrange to listen in this morning, but if any of you can and want to call in and join the conversation now, that would be great. Okay, we have one caller on the line. Hello, who's joined us?
Yeah. Oh, Brenda Gaines, can you?
Oh, yes. I asked who's joined us, but I really intended to let it be optional for you to give your name. But I am so glad you were able to join us. Tell us some about your experience with coaching.
Yes, I came to your coaching session because my father had died very suddenly. He had cancer, but he died immediately 3 weeks after I retired from the federal government. And I was at a crossroads in my life because so much of who I was associated with my position. I was a high-level senior director for the United States Army Surgeon General. And the death of my father really made me examine my life and my business, BG Consulting Services. And I had reached a point where I was pretty stagnant and had lost my way in pursuing my business. I was dealing with the grief of my father very well, but my business was just at a standstill. And so I needed to identify the Brenda Gaines, not the senior director, but Brenda Gaines, the person, the Christian, and also the CEO. And so I attended one of your preliminary sessions and just decided that life coaching was the way that I needed to go. And just in a nutshell, life coaching really, it put me on a path of really understanding that this chapter of my life after retirement was really to pursue my business and also to develop a closer relationship with God. And as a result of your, I would just say, just awesome and fantastic coaching and just motivating us to be our best in all that we were pursuing. You were very tough, I must add, but it really gave me a focus to say, you know what, I can do this, I can get this business on track, I know who I am. I found my independent self, not Brenda, the senior leader for the federal government, but Brenda Gaines, the CEO of my business.
Wow.
And so I strongly recommend your life coaching to anyone that is at a crossroads in their life and just needing to redirect their course and their path.
Oh, thank you so much for calling. That really means a lot. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure to work with you. We have another caller on the line, 910 area code. Would you go ahead, please? We have someone with the 910 area code online. Can you go ahead and join us, please? Okay, we're having a little technical difficulty with that. We will keep going. If any other past clients out there, just want to say a word about the experience of coaching. We welcome you to call us right now at 646-716-9397. We will take calls again at the end of the show, so we're going to keep moving. I just will say again a special thanks to my past client who called in. It was certainly rewarding for me to work with the CEO of BG Consulting. And at this time, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my special guest for today's show. I am excited to share with you all. Oh, we do have one other caller who's trying to join us.
Yes, good afternoon.
Oh, good. Hi.
How are
you? Calling. Great.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you for your work. I had occasion to be among the original group, 6IC, and I want to call in to voice major support for coaching and for Christian coaching, faith-based Christian coaching. I found it to be an experience that was extremely helpful with guided decision-making, with personal examination, deciding what is important and what's not. I think often we are running around a mile a minute, and it kind of helps ground you and also provide you with a network of other women who are interested in affirming and reaffirming their faith and working with each other. So I'm most appreciative.
Oh, thank you so much. It was my pleasure to work with you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. I look forward to many more shows.
Thank you so much.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
We're going to try to take one more caller quickly before we move on. Hello, area code 910. Are you with us? Area code 910 is trying to get through, but we're having technical difficulty. If you can hear me, please try to call back at the end of the show. Okay, we will open the phone lines up again. Okay, I'm going to tell you all about one of my inspired choices for this broadcast right now, and that was to have this gentleman as my first guest. Ladies and gentlemen, I am honored to welcome Brother Lonnie Williams to today's show.
Well, that's mighty kind of you. Thank you for those kind words.
I haven't begun the kind words yet. Lonnie Williams, I just want to give you a little bit of his background. Lonnie Williams is a retired senior vice president of Scientific and Commercial Systems Corporation, SCSE. His experience includes a stellar record of managing cross-functional staff of up to 300 people, including supply, equipment, facilities, transportation, human resources. The list goes on and on. He led SCSE to selection for NASA's highest quality award, the George M. Lowe Award, in recognition of superior logistics and administrative contract operations in the areas of customer service and cost control. During a period of austere budget, Lonnie is a veteran, a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, having served honorably for over a 20-year career with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, managing, planning, and programming engineer construction projects from minefields to bridges, from airfield runways to buildings. In his responsibilities for manpower management programs and equipment procurement, he worked with the highest levels of the U.S. Army and had interface with engineer agencies of several foreign governments. Brother Lonnie has traveled extensively, visiting or working on 6 continents and all but 4 of the United States. He is a man of great faith in God and love of his family. He serves, loves, and gives wholeheartedly as a trustee and in several other ministries at the Antioch Baptist Church in Fairfax Station, Virginia, where we worship together. I've known him for many years, and I've told him and family members, I love him like a brother so much, I am ready to adopt him legally. Undoubtedly, Lonnie has rich stories to share about his diverse life experiences by the sampling I pulled from his bio. Listeners, I could not have found another guest that I'm happier to share with you than Brother Lonnie Williams. And by the end of our interview, I believe you will understand why. Brother Lonnie, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Well, pleasure is mine, Linda. And I thank God for yet another day to stand and call his name and to be here today and offer anything that I can and I've experienced along these 77 years to listeners who are out there And as I listen and talk to those who are calling in, at the same time learning a little something along the way. So it's very nice to be here, and give all the glory and honor to God.
Amen. Well, thanks to you and other guests here each week, we will grow a community that gives hope and encouragement, inspires and even challenges listeners to make the kind of choices that help them to move forward with their lives. So let's jump right in. Tell us a little about yourself or your background and what you're doing today.
Well, all right. I'm going to start off just by giving a little bit about where I grew up and some of the things that happened along the way that directed where we are sitting right here today.
Okay.
Some of the things that you think about on a day-to-day basis, you know, I never thought I'd be right here today.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a plan that God had in mind, that the results of which, the outcome of which, that we are here, we're all here, and it has been a blessing to me. Houston Texan, growing up in Houston, pretty big city, 4 or 5 million down there now. When I was growing up, it's a small country town. I call it a small country town, even though it had significantly less people than that at that time. All the time that I can remember, as far back as I can remember, I was in church every Sunday. Mom carried me to church. Dad was along sometimes. Was a bit of a disconnect sometimes between the things that I learned. And so I had many, many opportunities during my 16 years that I was there in Houston before I went off to college to become grounded in the Word. At that time, I'll say to you now that even though I was in church, you know, church really wasn't in me.
Mm-hmm.
I was going through all of the exercises that the Sunday school teachers had given out. And God bless my mother, a praying mother. The one thing that carried me through all of those 16 years and the other periods of my life was her famous phrase, just keep on trusting in the Lord. That was my foundation. That was my baseline, which I think has carried me a mighty long way, and it still carries me today. I got to the point when I finished high school, made some pretty good grades, and wound up with a full scholarship to any school that I wanted to go to. I applied to several schools, wound up going to Hampton University because they answered first, and I was afraid that if I didn't go there, the others might not accept me. So I went to the one that answered first. Turns out that Howard University also answered, and University of Southern California answered, but they admitted me for next year since they were already filled up for that particular year. It was 1955.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that kind of gets me up to the start of college. And, again, I will say in summary that in terms of making inspired choices, in terms of knowing God and believing in God, I had joined church by that time, but I can truly say that I really didn't know what that really meant.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had taken me down the aisle when I was 16 years old, right before I went off to college, and said, you're going to join church.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that as a result of that, you know, the church services that I attended while I was at Hampton and the vespers that I attended while I was at Hampton were a direct fallout of what my mom had done to me all through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And that was encouraging to me. But I really, as I said, I really didn't understand what was going on in my life. There were a lot of distractions. I had a lot of chances to go in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my best friends drank various beverages.
Mm-hmm.
I chose not to do that or smoke. So I've never done those kinds of things, even though I did some social drinking in the earlier 20s and 30s of my life, but have since stopped. But that doesn't say that no one should drink or no one should smoke. I'm just saying, personally, me, that's the way that I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop right there in terms of my background. That gets me up to the beginning of college, and after that, my life would be shaped in such a way that I had no idea how the direction it would go at that time.
Wow. Well, I know from just reading your bio and from knowing you that you have traveled the world, you have had just amazing life experiences. I hope you've heard, the premise for this show is to just share with people that even in lives that are successful and happy and well put together, you've had to deal with periods of uncertainty or low points. Would that be correct?
Absolutely correct. And I think we stopped the story about my life right at the end of high school, the beginning of college. I didn't know at the time, if I might go back just a little bit, rewind just a little, I didn't know at the time that I enrolled in Hampton that they had an ROTC program.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 years of ROTC were required, and then the next 2 years, if you were made the right kinds of grades, you were accepted into senior ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was fortunate enough to make the right kind of grades, and I was in ROTC for the last 2 years also. When I graduated, I was a second lieutenant. And at that time, I was about 23 years old and was sent down to Fort Hood, Texas after I left Fort Belvoir in engineering school.
Mm-hmm.
And right after that, I went on a tour to Vietnam at 23 years old. Now, you can imagine that was an eye-opener for me because it opened me and exposed me some things that I never thought I would experience. Even though I knew I was going into the Army, I didn't know that within a few days after I arrived in country in Vietnam, that in the tent right adjacent to me, Viet Cong terrorists would roll a grenade in underneath the tent and kill 7 people who were U.S. soldiers. That has a way of giving you a wake-up call as to that could have been me.
Mm-hmm.
But for God's intervention, I could have been in that tent.
Mm-hmm.
But it also started me to thinking about some of the things that would happen to me if I died. What would happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about those kind of things when I was growing up. I never really thought about whether that was a heaven or whether that was a hell.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, just the closeness, the proximity of something like that happening right away within a few days after I arrived in country.
Mm-hmm.
At a time when there were only 25,000 U.S. soldiers in country, and something like that had to happen next to me.
Wow.
That was a period of terrorism that kind of reigned there for the year that I was there. But I grew up real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you this, that my mother had to take me to church when I was growing up in high school. But after that, I went to church everywhere. That was a foxhole.
Wow.
Everywhere that was a tent where they were having Sunday service.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed to the good Lord to be with me, and he was there with me.
May I just interject a question here? What kind of things were you saying to yourself after those days when, you know, you knew you could have been killed?
Well, I think the first thing that came to my mind was, I have lived my life in such a way that I didn't know at that time what was going to happen to me after I died.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was starting to question myself and question if there was something that I should do better. Am I doing enough? And is it a matter of doing enough, or is it a matter of getting to know God more?
Mm-hmm.
I even had those kind of questions at that very young age. It was I was only there for a year, so I was only 24 when I left. But those questions were still in my mind. And as God willed it, some of the things that happened reinforced those thoughts. I said, yes, you do need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
There is something missing from your life. You need to get something started that's going to direct your life more towards God. I heard many times, and you've heard it also, you are like the force that you feed. If you act like you're a child of God, you're going to be a child of God. If you act like you're a child of the enemy,
mm-hmm.
that's the way. If you feed that mm-hmm. force, you're going to act like that force.
Yes.
And so it was, to me, one of the initial turning points in my life actually was that 20-year period, and I use it as a period, the entire military career that I had,
mm-hmm.
I had differing opportunities to reinforce the idea that I needed to get closer to God.
Wow. Hmm. Were there ever any times over that, you know, your entire military career where you questioned or doubted your ability to keep going? I mean, were there low points where you just really doubted yourself at all?
Well, that's a good question, Linda. But, you know, as I look back over it, I really don't think there were any times where I doubted whether I could or could not keep going.
Okay.
It wasn't so much that as what choice would I make about keeping going. Because I still believe right today that I never want to put myself in a position where I don't have very many options out there in front of me and which direction I want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also learned over the years that the ones that have God in the middle of it are the best ones. That the path is already out there. It's there. But God may not have revealed it to me yet because I may not have had the right kind of conversation with him yet, the right quiet moment, or listened to the right person or the right direction, or read the right story in the Bible, or heard some type of emphasis that came from somewhere that put me off in the right direction. So I think it's there. The choices are there. They're all around us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now God's revealing to those, revealing those to us, is what I thought is something that I had to make the choice. The choice was already there. With all of my experience, I ought to be able to make the right choice. If God was out of it, it was going to be the wrong choice.
Okay.
Let me also go back to the real question that you asked. You know, when you're out there and you're sitting on top of the world and things are going well, you're second lieutenant, you got a shiny car, cost $3,000 back in those days. And people see you and they say, well, he's got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is okay at school, and he can go to church on Sunday, drive his car, take his wife to church or wherever. He's okay.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that person may be going straight to hell. And nobody knows it because of I'm going to call it an act, but because of that image that they put on, the surface treatment, the mask that's there.
Yeah.
And I had to find that out because I really thought at one time that was true.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to make me mad when I saw people who looked good and on the surface looked like they were doing okay, but they were, in my view, they were bad guys, and they were bad ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are they doing so good?
Mm-hmm.
I'm out here doing the best that I can. I'm trying to follow the things that the good Lord taught me how to do, and my mama and daddy taught me how to do, and be right and do things that are truthful and honest and don't lie and all those kinds of things. And these folks over here who are over here drinking and smoking and cutting and shooting, and I knew that they were shooting and doing those kinds of things, but looks like they were getting away with it.
Yeah,
and I learned as I went along and started reading in various passages, and particularly I can refer to some back in Psalm that said, look, I've got this. That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the care of them at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So God is a good God, but he's also a just God.
Yeah.
Amen to that. So God knows your heart. So all the things you see on the outside, this is my experience. I can only talk for myself.
Mm-hmm.
All the things you see on the outside, you can put on that show, but God knows my heart. He knows your heart.
Yeah.
He knows if what you're doing is real or not.
Yes.
We do serve a real God.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Tell us a little more about, you know, just over your travels and your experience, places where you maybe faced a challenge where you had to call your faith in to support you. I know you have countless examples.
I'm smiling because there are a couple I think that may be worthwhile mentioning. I'll try to shorten them up.
Okay.
One was on the experience that I was assigned in Korea, and our particular unit assignment was to go up into an area which was labeled the demilitarized zone. It was an area between North and South Korea. So most of the work, maybe 95% of the work that our unit was doing was in that area. But what we're doing, we had responsibility for maintaining all the roads and bridges in that zone, in that area. In order to get to those areas, though, we had to travel through some areas that were infiltrated by North Korean patrols. And all along the road as we were traveling, there were crosses and flowers where American soldiers had been ambushed by North Koreans. So we're traveling along this road. It's only 2,000 meters long. And we're traveling along there, and there are all these markers along the side of the road.
Wow.
And we're just kind of bopping along very nicely. But it registered to me that really what went through my mind was, I don't want to be one of those crosses along the side of the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that was another prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And another prayer, and another prayer, and another prayer. But as we were driving up through the area called Panmunjom, which is right on the DMZ in Korea,
mm-hmm.
We were attacked and surrounded by about 22 North Korean soldiers who were dressed up as construction workers.
Mm-hmm.
The first words out of my mouth were, "Lord, help me."
Mm-hmm.
There were four of us in the vehicle that we were driving. They blockaded the road so we couldn't go backwards or forward. And so one of the persons in the vehicle jumped out. And the other three of us, who were all officers, tried to defend ourselves as best we could. And I was cut a couple of places, but it wasn't, and I got a bruise or two. But we were rescued out of that situation by our own soldiers who were up on a hill overlooking this whole valley that we were in.
Wow.
And within about 15 seconds, it seemed like three or four days, but within about 15 seconds, they had driven down. And when they drove down with their weapons, we didn't have weapons. We could not take weapons into the demilitarized zone. So they came down with their weapons, and the North Vietnamese dispersed. They had attacked us because about a month earlier, they claimed that one of the American soldiers had hurt one of the North Korean soldiers, and this was their way of retaliation.
Hmm.
I might also say, a month later, another American officer was killed in that same spot.
Mm, mm, mm.
There's God's hand. There's God's work.
Yes.
I wasn't killed. I was injured a little bit. Cut here and a cut there, bruised there. And within a month, another American soldier was killed in that same spot. And that's a very sobering kind of an event.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you get on your knees a lot more than you did before you went into bed, I can tell you that. When somebody is face-to-face looking you in the eye and trying to take your life, it gives you a cold, hard realization about who God is.
Wow.
And what God is doing for you right there in that spot. God, thank you. Thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. Thank you,
very
God.
Real.
Thank you, God. Very well.
Wow.
That's Korea. In Vietnam, towards the end of the war back in 70-71, our unit was asked to go into an airfield and repair it because they were going to use the different countries were going to use that as a launch pad for the prisoner of war exchange.
Mm.
So we're going to take an airfield, fly into an airfield that was held by the Viet Cong. At that time, the Viet Cong were completely surrounded. You could see them with their weapons in the emplacements along the edges of the runway. So we flew into the helicopter, and there were six of us in the helicopter. I was sitting next to one of the Viet Cong who was going to represent his side of this force that was going to estimate how long it took. How many resources it would take to repair this airfield.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in there on the ground. I look around. I see machine guns. I see commander of the unit riding around on his motorcycle looking like he was on the world. And there were 1, 2, 3, 4 U.S. Military there, two pilots that flew us in, an interpreter, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So we went around and looked at each one of the bomb craters that were all over the runway. It was a 3,000-foot runway. Bomb craters had human remains in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of shocked to see that. I didn't expect to see skeletons and other remains in those craters. But let me just get to the point. As I went through that exercise, I think there was a natural fear that you might expect to come over you under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out that God had placed a natural kind of a calm over me at that time. I wasn't afraid. I said, Lord, I'm here to do a job. I'm going to do this job, and I'm going to go back to the headquarters back in Saigon, now Ho Chi Minh City.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, and just do my job and get out of there. A little sidebar, when we had our reconnaissance done and we had looked at the holes that we should repair and should not repair, the commander, who had been riding around on his motorcycle looking at me in this 100-degree weather, came up and through the interpreter asked me if I wanted something to drink. So we finished work and through the interpreter, want something to drink? And I really didn't, mm-hmm. but in some way I thought it might be a slap in the face if I refused it.
Sure.
And it's one of those situations where you make the decision right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did say sure.
Mm-hmm.
The pilots, by the way, declined to train. But I went over, and he had a Coke, and one very large Coke, and four glasses. And he poured the Coke into a glass, and he sensed the same thing that I was sensing. He poured it into a glass, and then he drank out of it first. And then he poured
it. Okay.
So that it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But my mind was racing 100 miles an hour, saying, well, it might be something in the glass. Uh-huh. My mind was
going.
But again, the calm that was there that allowed me to take one sip or two sips mm-hmm. of whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
and through the interpreter, well, at that time I could speak enough Vietnamese so I could say thank you
mm-hmm.
in the language. And at that time, we got back in the helicopters, went back to Saigon. It turns out that when we got back there, I said, Lonnie, look, you've done a great job, but you know what? We need you to go back tomorrow and actually repair the potholes that you just indicated had to be fixed if these aircraft are going to land and take our prisoners out. So I thought I could, you know, breathe a sigh of relief once I got back,
mm-hmm.
but I had to pony up the next day with the helicopter and now some materials
mm-hmm.
And go back to that site and prepare it so that our C-123s could come in and take the prisoners out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stayed long enough to do that. And what made me feel good about that whole exercise was I was able to see 18-wheeler truckloads full of U.S. prisoners of war. Somehow they had obtained an American flag.
Wow.
And to see them coming out of the woods, waving those flags, headed toward those planes,
wow.
and I was in tears.
Oh, my.
And praising the Lord.
Oh, my. Well, Lonnie, I could listen to you tell your life experiences for a long time, but I want to just, you know, kind of throw a challenge. You've given a couple of experiences from your journey, and particularly during your time in the military. I appreciate you being so open and transparent, and I hope what you are sharing is giving someone who's listening some reflection on their own lives. So for someone out there who is saying, I can relate to what you went through, but I'm not sure where to begin to strengthen my faith walk, or they may say, I'm not sure how to start a relationship with Christ like you have, what would you say to them?
Well, you know, if you listen to the last 10 to 15 minutes when I've been just talking on and on and on about these military experiences, they do carry over into what's happening here in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world is full of choices every day, and the kind of choices that you make each and every day are just part of life.
Yep.
Now, what kind of choices that you do make are going to be directed by your experiences and your knowledge and the Bible and your friends and your relatives and your background. But I've always had the impression that when I come to a fork in the road and I want to decide which way to go, I need to make a change in my own life. I'm going to first look inside
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I heard one of your earlier calls say something like that. She said, I had to first find out who I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to make that sound too sophisticated because it's not a very sophisticated drill. You simply have to decide whether you're going to follow the right or follow the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
If you absolutely, positively have good health, honest, baseline kinds of things that direct your guidance when you're a youngster, you're going to be more prone to make the right kind of choices when you get in the tight spot.
Mm-hmm. I
found that true. And let me give you an example of that. One day, Dolores, my wife, asked me, what do you want for Christmas this year, Lonnie? And so rather than saying an object like a computer or a laptop or
mm-hmm.
whatever those kinds of, you know, I didn't want anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I really want to know if all of our sons know the Lord. That's what I want for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't have to get it Christmas Day, but I will know that this year.
Wow.
Well, you know, the Lord has a way of revealing those kinds of things to you, too, without saying, hey, Lonnie,
mm-hmm.
your son gave his life to me today.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can tell in the worst matter of fact. My mom used to tell me, she said, I can talk with somebody 5 minutes and tell you whether they're Christian or not.
Wow.
And it turns out that some of the things and some of the conversations that my sons and I have gone through and Dolores and I have gone through with them have told me that they do, in fact, know Christ, that they do know the Lord. They have given their lives to serving God. Further proof of that is my grandson the other day was making some noise in his room the other day. My son couldn't quite understand what he was saying, so he went into his room, and he was back there singing a gospel song. It was 9:30 at night. He couldn't sleep. Seven years old.
Wow.
And when my son told me the story, that yeah, brought me to tears. But, you know, starting with an issue that confronts you, and the pastor often says, if you're not in the storm or just recovering from a storm, hold on because one is coming,
mm-hmm.
that you better be grounded in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a threat. That's just me talking. Like, you need to be grounded in your faith. If you are, then you're going to be able to weather through that storm in such a way that you'll come out on the other side.
Amen.
As the Bible says, you'll go through the fire, but you'll come out as pure gold. And that's the faith that I have, that he will do that. So individuals that are out there struggling with any kind of an issue, they start with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get beyond, okay, I've decided to follow Jesus, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You may need some help in terms of accountability partners, someone
mm-hmm.
out there to kind of guide you along the way, a tap you on the shoulder to keep you between the yellow lines.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may need a Bible study that takes place at 6 o'clock on Thursday morning at Antioch, called Sunrise Connection.
Okay.
Or you may need the Antioch Bible Institute, which is a 3-year course every Monday night. Some of the things that I went through that taught me how much I really did know about the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and have since tried to fill in the gaps.
So you're saying people need to not only make the choice that they're going to live a life of faith, but then move in a direction of growing through learning the Word and getting around some people who also are people of the faith.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Very important to surround yourselves with people that talk the same language. In fact, I used to hear people say, you know, Christians can't have fun. Christians don't have fun. Well, the kinds of activities and fellowships that we have at Antioch, and this is not a commercial for Antioch, but any local church, if it had the type of fellowship that we have there at Antioch Baptist, then it's headed in the right direction.
There are social activities, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure, you don't have to miss out.
Absolutely, but you have to plan it,
mm-hmm.
in particular in Northern Virginia, because there are so many distractions here that you know the youngsters are distracted by the electronics, books and the music and whatever it is to be distracted by, and cars and God forbid even drugs. And so there's some help out there for you if you're open to receiving it, number one. But it starts with accepting that you have an issue that you have to pay some attention to.
That's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. Well, I know we will have some people who want to talk with you or to make comment to just who you are, my brother, and I want to give them a chance to get in. But what a meaningful and inspiring conversation. You know, I've known you for a long time, but just to hear you share some of the points that you have had to take a stand and had to stand on your faith. And as you said, your mom said, just keep trusting in the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Mm.
I still remember that. But if I've got a minute, I'll tell you. You know, in school, at the college level anyway, getting a package at home is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
First of all, everybody knows you got it because it's smelling all over that hall with chicken or whatever they send you. But my mom always put a note on all those packages. And I really didn't relax until I got to the bottom and I saw that note. I said, oh, there it is. First of all, that was that obligatory $100 bill.
All right.
But that was also that obligatory just keep trusting in the Lord.
Wow.
I knew it was there and I wanted to see it. And it's the kind of habitual thinking that's got to be a part of your life if you're going to make inspired choices, as is the name of your blog here today.
Absolutely.
That those inspirational choices are not made by accident. They are made because of your background, because of your heart, because of the plan that you make. As you've often heard, you know, if you don't make a plan, or if you're on a ship and you don't have a map charting your course, then any place, if you get in a storm, then any place that you land will do. That's not right. That is absolutely false. The course that you chart as a youngster. Hello, all of you mothers out there who show up at choir rehearsal with your mother, with your daughter or your son in hand, getting their homework while you're rehearsing with the choir. What are they going to do when they grow up? They're going to be out there in that choir stand also. When I was in school, was I in the choir stand? I was in the choir stand. Was I in the Christmas plays? I was in the Christmas plays. Was I in the Easter plays, learning those poems that everybody remembers to this day? All of that shaped my life. And I thank God it's still shaping my life.
Well, I want to just quickly come all the way to the present and say, what are you enjoying most about this season of your life?
I think there's a calmness and an outreach that 40, 30, however many years ago, maybe even 10 or 15 years ago, wasn't there. That because now of my fellowship with Christ, That there's a calmness about me. That there's don't worry about that. I'm not sure it has the right kind of priority that you're giving it. You spend a lot of psychic energy, and there's a lot of angst in you right now. But why don't you settle down a little bit, and we can get through this. That type of dialogue with the many people that I observe. And I'll actually engage them out in the streets, and they'll say, "Well, why are you approaching from that standpoint?" Well, I think it's simply a matter of understanding what's priority and what's not. But those kinds of things that a lot of folks are spending a lot of time on, number one, are not unnecessary. And I said, if you want to find out if what you're doing is unnecessary or not, I give it the so what test. Well, you know, I'm going out here and do so-and-so. And, well, I've got to do that. I said, well, what if it happens? I said, so what?
Yeah.
What impact is that going to have on the world? Is that going to change anything? Is it going to change your faith? Is it going to change how you react to different situations? Well, no, not really. I said, well, maybe I'll put that on the back shelf and go home and read the Bible.
Something that can have impact.
Well, it's something that will redirect your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that type of feeling and a desire to tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's a great place to be.
Yeah.
And no matter where you've been, you've seen it yourself. When you're at the Home Depot or you're at the Home Goods store and you just say the words, God bless you. I've had clerks tell me, you don't know what that did for me,
mm-hmm.
sir. And they, if I have a credit card, they'll see my name, Mr. Williams. You don't
mm-hmm.
know what you just said. You don't know what kind of day I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my view of the world, whatever kind of day you have, count it joy.
Amen.
You're still here. You still have an opportunity to change if you need to change. You still have an opportunity to serve the Lord. You still have an opportunity to make the kind of choices that are going to help somebody. And that's kind of the place I'm in.
Okay.
And I pray to God that that God continues to put me in a place where I can do the things that He wants me to do.
Amen. Amen, Brother Lonnie. Oh, listeners, I hope you have just enjoyed this time with Brother Lonnie Williams as much as I have. I got so caught up in everything that he's sharing. So may it be just an encouragement to someone out there today. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
What you shared, I believe, will be helpful to many. To our listeners, we are going to get in some questions from people who want to get in on the conversation. But even before I do that, without even connecting it initially when I was choosing a show date, I am so glad to have just a beautiful representative of all veterans here today. And I just want to thank you as a soldier who has served our country selflessly,
man,
who has contributed to the growth of this nation. And I want to say to all of the veterans out there, to those of you who are listening, who know a veteran, thank them. Thank
man.
Them.
Man.
For the sacrifice and the service to this nation. So right now, we're going to take some calls, comments for our guests. Let's see who is on hold here. We have someone at the 571 area code. Go ahead, please. 71215. Go ahead, please. Okay, let's try another call. We have a 703-746 area code. Go ahead, please.
This is Lou Phillips calling in from Alexandria, Virginia.
Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. I just first of all want to congratulate you on your maiden voyage and just let you know how much I've enjoyed listening to Brother Lonnie talk about his experiences in the military and talking about the life choices that he has made, and I'm prayerful that your program will continue to grow and bring in many others like Brother Lonnie. And I do have a question for him, though.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Phillips.
Lonnie, my question is this: as you look back over your life and think about your life choices, I'm sure with you, as it has been for me, it's very rewarding when when God allows us to see the results of those choices on this side of glory, you know, because most times we never really get a chance to see the manifestations of the promises that he's made to us. And so my question to you is can you talk about the choices you made that influenced your sons, one of which has risen to the rank of Major General in the U.S. Army. And so I would think that a lot of the blessings that God passed as executed in his life is a result of the choices you made as he was growing up. Can you speak to that a bit?
I'll be glad to. I appreciate the kind comments, Reverend Phillips. Dolores and I, my wonderful wife, have four boys, and in this great big world of ours, the kinds of things that they're engaged in, I've had a lot of opportunities to go to the right or to the left or center. The choices that they made when they were in high school, the choices that they made after they graduated, each one of them has graduated from college. All these are blessings in themselves. But the choices that they made when they graduated from college, the choices that they've made with their partners in life, it's certainly easy to see with all of the distractions that we read about in the news and hear about on television that they could have been in either one of many, many, many different situations that are less than pleasant. And so, you know, the word tells us that when they're thinking through something and when they're deciding to do something, to put God first. I give an example the other day when my oldest son, Daryl, came in from Italy and said that he was very blessed to have been selected for the general officer position. That is not something that he even aspired to be when he was going to school. But it's one of the things that God in his dominion, in his power, in his grace has done and allowed him to do. Mm-hmm. And I can apply that same measure, that same standard, to the other three lads, too, that the types of things that God has allowed them to do and the positions that he has allowed them to enjoy right now are a direct result of the first thing that I was out of his mouth when I asked him, well, how he was doing. And he said, I'm very blessed. And if I might extend that just a little bit, Reverend Phillips, you know better than I that one of the many censuses that God directed in the Bible was the one that was taken in order to identify how many able-bodied soldiers were available to go into Canaan and fight. Mm-hmm. And he gave very specific instructions to Moses, as I recall the passage. I believe it's over in Numbers, but not sure. That he gave very specific instructions. He says, I want you to gather the men into these different groups, and even gave them the names of the person that they were to gather under. And I believe they flew a standard so they could see exactly where they were to gather. And my sons tell me that they want to be able to have a standard, their own personal image, so that somebody sees them way before they get into what I call smell the coffee breath range. You know, so you're mm-hmm. so close to somebody where you can smell the coffee on. Not that range, but, you know, 25 yards away. When you see that person, you know what kind of person that is by the standard that they project. And that's the kind of advice that as the youngsters were coming up, that every one of us heard that same story, that mm-hmm. the exact same story, that what standard do you fly when you're out there? Is somebody out there saying, I want to be like that person, mm-hmm. Just like the standard that the greatest of all has set, Jesus Christ. I want to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, you set a great standard for them, and it's proving out now. And Linda, once again, thank you for your show and continued success, okay?
Thank you so much for all of your support, and thank you for calling in. Take good care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Rick. Oops, sorry.
I just want to try the person who called in and was so patient on hold from the 571-215, if you're still out there and have a comment or a question before we wrap up. Okay. I'm sorry that we're not proficient with the technology yet. Before we wrap up, I just want to say please stay tuned to Life Coach Radio Network. The link that you had for this show, there are other upcoming inspiring coaching shows. I would love for you to just join us regularly. This broadcast will occur on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month. So the next show will be November 24th. When my guest will be Larry Hester. You don't want to miss the interview with Larry Hester.
Amen.
I just can't thank enough my past clients who called in to share something about their coaching experience. And before we go, ladies out there, a special invitation. If you or anyone you know is interested in the benefits of coaching or to move forward toward a more purposeful and fulfilled life, consider the next Six Inspired Choices program, which begins in January. All you have to do is go to my website, lindastevensjones.com for information and sign up. Lonnie, I have a couple of shout-outs before we close.
All right.
Do you have any shout-outs that you want to send before we close?
A shout out to my son. I think Michael is out there, and Dolores on the line. I love you.
Thank you. I want to send a big old shout out to my husband, Spike, for his unwavering love and support in all things. But he has certainly helped to carry me to get me to today's broadcast. And I also want to give a special shout out to Janice LaVore Fletcher, who heads the Christian Coach Institute, who trained me to be a Christian life coach. I just thank you for all that you embody and what you inspire in all of us who you've trained. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here today. And please mark your calendars for the next broadcast on November 24th, right here at 12 noon. Until then, stay blessed.